Good morning and welcome to HealthWorks. I'm Carol Kinnear, Community Health Manager at Wayne Memorial Hospital. Thank you for joining me today and happy March. We're through February after our couple of snowstorms here. But on today's show, my guest is Dr. Clifford Carroll, and he is from Wayne Memorial Physician Specialty Clinic. Good morning, Dr. Carroll.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I feel great.
Great. And I'm so happy to have you on the show. You've been with Wayne Memorial since May 2022.
That is right.
Right? And we are so happy to have you here.
Thank you.
Really, we appreciate your service. And I invited you on the show today because March is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, or Colon Cancer Awareness Month, some people say. And you're a gastroenterologist.
Correct.
So what's that connection there? Like, what does a gastroenterologist do?
Well, I diagnose and treat illnesses in the digestive system. That means everything from the esophagus to the stomach to the small intestine to the colon to the rectal area, liver disease, pancreatic diseases, gallbladder diseases, diseases of the bile duct, the pancreatic duct, constipation, diarrhea, reflux, heartburn, nausea, vomiting, abdominal pain, and the list goes on.
And again, I'm not laughing at that because you're exactly right. The list can go on and on because I don't think individuals sometimes realize the GI tract starts kind of in your mouth and goes all the way down.
That is correct. So the number of diseases that I treat, the number of illnesses that I need to be an expert about is very large.
Right.
And we provide those services here.
Right, which is, again, a wonderful service for our community. So, like I mentioned, March is Colon Cancer Awareness Month or colorectal cancer. Can you, is screening important to prevent this?
I believe it's very important to prevent colorectal cancer. Colorectal cancer is an awful disease. It's common. There are more than 50,000 new diagnoses every year here in the United States. It's a disease that can be, for the most part, but not perfectly, like anything else, prevented by getting a screening done. And as your listeners may know, the new age that is recommended is 45 rather than 50, because there's been a rash of new diagnoses of colon and rectal cancer in young people. But I have to make sure your listeners understand that although our societies tell us to instruct patients to start at age 45, not all insurances are on board with that. So a good idea is to call your insurance and ask the following question. Is colon cancer screening by colonoscopy covered under my plan if I'm under 50 years old? The insurance company should let you know if it's a covered benefit. That's very important.
Mm-hmm. And are you seeing, though, because they're changing, so they, is that coming from like the CDC, the recommendations, or the College of Gastroenterology? I'm not sure if that's a term or not. That, again, they're seeing these younger people with colon cancer, and that's why they're decreasing the age. Should insurance companies kind of catch up? We would want them to, right?
Of course. This recommendation is coming not only from our societies, like the American College of Gastroenterology and others, but from the National Preventative Task Force, which is a national organization that promotes and suggests different screening ages for a host of different illnesses. When that organization makes a recommendation, we listen very carefully. But still, you must ask your insurance company whether it's covered, because we don't want people getting unnecessary and unfair bills for these services without you knowing ahead of time that it's a covered benefit.
Mm-hmm. And, as we mentioned, colon cancer is the top fifth cancer in our country. What are some of the risk factors? If someone's listening and they're even maybe not at 45, but if they're listening, what are some of the risk factors?
So the risk factors for colon cancer are many. The most important one is a family history of colon or rectal cancer or a family history of large colon polyps. So if you have a first degree relative, that means mother, father, brother, or sister, with colon cancer, you are in a higher risk group. And the younger that person is at the time of diagnosis, the higher your risk is. And remember, 85% of all colon cancer is sporadic. It means it occurs randomly. 15% only is either inherited or familial. Familial means it's in the family. Inherited means there's a known genetic reason why you're at increased risk. If your listeners want to look up the two most important inherited forms of colon cancer are Lynch syndrome, L-Y-N-C-H, and familial polyposis. Those are both rare. The Lynch syndrome, though, is more common than people think. So for your listeners, if there's a family history of any of the following kinds of cancers, you should tell your primary care doctor. Uterine cancer, kidney cancer, pancreatic cancer, bile duct cancer in the liver, stomach cancer, and brain cancer are all cancers that are part of this Lynch syndrome. Now, it doesn't automatically mean you have it, but now we have a simple blood test to tell us if you have it that wasn't available just a number of years ago. So if you have such a strong family history, any physician can order the Lynch panel, L-Y-N-C-H panel, to see if you're at increased risk. It's very important because that has enormous consequences, if that's true.
Right. Wow. I love doing these shows because I always learn something new. You know, I mean, I know families with, family history with certain cancers, and that connection is really interesting and I think important for our listeners to hear. Because when we look at colon cancer, are there symptoms that we may see with it?
Right. So I want all your listeners to understand something very important. When we talk about colon cancer screening, say by a colonoscopy, we are not talking about trying to find colon cancer. We're trying to prevent it from ever happening. And that's by finding polyps or growths in the colon long before they naturally become cancer, and we remove them, and that's how we prevent colon cancer. But if a colon cancer is present, sometimes there may be no symptoms. Sometimes there may be vague abdominal pain. Sometimes there could be rectal bleeding. Sometimes a blood test shows that you've become anemic, you're losing blood somewhere. Those are the symptoms that would suggest colon cancer. But Colon Cancer Awareness Month and all the things we provide are trying to prevent that from ever happening.
Right. You mentioned with the screenings, colonoscopy may be recommended for some individuals. Are there other options for some people, just in case maybe their insurance doesn't cover it?
Sure.
But you would really recommend some sort of screening.
So over the years, a number of tests have been looked at, and there are now three that are uniformly regarded as reasonable. One is colonoscopy. If there's no family history and a colonoscopy demonstrates no polyps, then the recommendation is 10 years for the next colonoscopy. There's the Cologuard test. That one is recommended every 3 years. And that one looks for not only blood in the stool, but DNA from tumors that have shed that DNA in the stool. But remember that test is FDA approved and the commercial says it is to detect colon cancer. It's not FDA approved for detecting polyps, which are the precursors to colon cancer. As a matter of fact, the test has a high miss rate for polyps.
Oh, interesting.
The third one is called the stool test for occult or hidden blood. The best one is called FIT, capital F, capital I, capital T, fecal immunochemical testing. It's the most accurate for finding hidden blood. That one is recommended each year. All three are now recommended to start at 45 if you're not in a high-risk group.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in a high-risk group, the recommendation is colonoscopy. Doesn't mean you're necessarily going to do it. That's just what's recommended. If you don't want to, then do one of the other tests.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's so important to talk to your primary care doctor about this, correct?
That's the first step. Talk to the primary care. And these options can be discussed. If the option to get a stool test is decided upon, then the primary care doctor can order that. If one of those tests is positive or abnormal, then you get a diagnostic colonoscopy.
Right. And that would be where they may follow up with someone like you, who's a gastroenterologist, correct?
Absolutely. So the people who do the most colonoscopies are people like me, gastroenterologists. We do them every day.
Mm-hmm.
We're highly experienced. We're very good at completing the exam, and we're very good at removing these polyps. Because if you undergo a colonoscopy and a polyp is identified, but the proceduralist, whoever he or she is not comfortable removing polyps, then you've had no service performed upon you. So go to someone who's experienced mm-hmm. taking out polyps.
Right. And for anyone who's had a colonoscopy, the prep alone is not fun. So you want to get it done right the first time, correct? Right.
I also want to talk very briefly about the prep.
Okay. Go ahead.
Now, when I came here, I told the hospital about a preparation for colonoscopy that's easier for patients, less to drink, 2/3 of what you're actually drinking is water, results in a cleaner preparation for me to find more polyps. So that prep is available. And when patients come to see me, I order that prep. So most patients will report that it's not as miserable as some of the other preps out there.
Which again, for any of us like myself who's had a colonoscopy, that is good news to hear.
Right. So I want people to know we have a better way to get ready.
Which is so important. You know, so we talked about, you know, again, screenings, again, talking to your primary care doctor, especially family histories. Are there ethnic backgrounds that may be at greater risk too for colon cancer?
There are, but the guidelines all suggest that all people begin at 45.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be epidemiologically true that a certain group of people is at higher risk, say African-Americans compared to Asian-Americans.
Mm-hmm.
That may be statistically true, but all people should consider getting screened.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, when a patient is sitting in this room with me, the patient is not here for me to talk about epidemiology.
Right.
The patient's talking about him or herself and what's best.
Right, and all her risks.
Yes.
Their risk factors. So what can somebody do to prevent, you know, colon cancers? Is there lifestyle changes that they
can
make?
I have to be very careful with this, because although there are known associations that are lifestyle related, that are involved with colon cancer risk, just stopping those things is not a guarantee against getting colon cancer.
Correct.
So for example, the World Health Organization recognizes that processed meats, not so much a steak, but processed sliced deli meats, are associated with an increased risk of colon cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, how much? Well, 50 grams of this kind of meat a day is associated with an 18% increased risk of colon cancer. Well, the patient will say to me, what the heck does that mean? What's 50 grams? It's 2 slices of ham.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Increases your risk of colon cancer. Now, if I say to someone, just don't eat ham and everything will be okay, I'm not practicing medicine well. But I can tell you that is a known association. It's true that fruits and vegetables are associated with a lower risk. But I can't say to someone, just do that, you'll be fine. So the real answer is, get screened.
Right, right. But they can also decrease their risk or maybe even push out a diagnosis longer by making some healthy lifestyle changes.
I think that's a reasonable thing to say.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as a dietitian in my background, we always encourage fruits and vegetables. But, you know, I think it's also important to know that you're here to help these individuals if they're having some GI issues, correct?
Absolutely.
And they should always talk to their primary care and be honest with them.
Of course. So my job is to make the process civilized.
Mm-hmm.
The preparation is easier. You meet with me first, no one else. I talk to you personally about the colonoscopy. I go through the prep with you myself. I'm the one who's going to do your scope. So when that day arrives, it's a familiar face.
Mm-hmm.
So the anxiety is lifted.
Right.
Right now, I prefer to see everyone myself until we get busy enough where I'm comfortable with, say, another provider doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, every patient gets seen by me.
Right. Eventually, they will come in contact with you and they will meet you because you'll be, you know, as our GI doctor here at Wayne Memorial, you know, you're a one-man show, but you are very accessible.
Now, I also want to talk about one other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's colon cancer awareness that we're discussing, if any of those listeners out there now are suffering bad heartburn, tell someone, because bad heartburn is associated with a number of problems.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There is a condition that's precancerous called Barrett's esophagus, and our societies are struggling to make actual recommendations on screening upper endoscopies. We don't have it yet. But if you're a white male above the age of 50, and you have a little bit of a belly going on, and who doesn't, and you have severe reflux, that's the highest risk group for esophageal cancer.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out in studies that the same amount of reflux in that person compared to, say, the same age female of Asian descent is a completely different illness.
Wow.
In terms of risk.
Mm-hmm.
So tell your primary about your reflux and let me do your upper scope and make sure that's not happening.
So when you say let me, is there a phone number that they can call to get more information if they needed to?
Absolutely. But right now we need referrals. That's how the hospital keeps track of mm-hmm. people coming in. The office number is 570-253-8601. It's very easy for me to see you. Just get your primary to send us the referral. The office is good at getting them in and getting people in.
Yes, we do a wonderful job with that. Well, Dr. Carroll, I want to thank you so much for joining me on the show today.
I'm happy to be here anytime.
And I think the information that you provide is going to be so helpful for our listeners.
Great.
So again, this is Carol Kanier. I want to thank you for listening and have a great day.